Hello, this is John Alsop, and this is your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. First off, find a way to convey your trustworthiness online. That's about you being real. It's about putting up images, perhaps, of yourself. It's about writing the right kind of things, and there's a link to the Web Credibility Project, which I put up on Twitter, and this is from point four. So the crux of it is that you want to show that honest and trustworthy people stand behind your site. It's the Stanford Web Credibility Guidelines. And part of the idea of showing that honest and trustworthy people stand behind your site is, first of all, showing that there are real people behind the site. I just reviewed a site which was about language training, which is going to be all about the relationship between the tutor and the learner. People who want to learn languages are people. You know, they want to be able to interact with people of other cultures. And this site had no photographs of anyone that wasn't a model in a stock shot. So there was a real feeling that I can't trust this site because I don't know who's behind it. And so showing a picture of the person so that others can relate to you. Show a picture of yourself so that people can relate to you. Now, there's a possible reason why not to do that, actually, because the next point is the people shown on your website, hopefully it's not a website, hopefully it's a website, should look like the people in your target audience. So when a visitor comes to your website, they should see likable people who they can relate to, who are like them. So if you're selling stair lifts, then your site should show happy grey-haired people, perhaps, or happy disabled people. If you're selling a product to kids, then perhaps it should show kids and perhaps parents relating with their kids, and so on. So there's a possibility that if you are uh, 14 and you're running a website selling stuff for retired people, There could be a conflict of interest there, but I would say, what are you in that market for? Because you're uphill all the time anyway. You ought to be marketing to people like you. Then the flow is with you. The other way to find to convey trustworthiness, you've got images, you've got text, so you want to say things, you know, that imply that you're trustworthy. So you could tell people a little more about yourself so that you show yourself to be rounded and give ways for people to like you. So that's a possibility. You know, you could show perhaps a little bit of your history, or show that you are a member of particular organizations that add credibility to what you're trying to do. So there's informational things that you can do in text, and also video. So there's an argument that if you don't present well on video, if you don't come across well on video, then there is an argument for not doing it. And so, yes, play to your strengths. And you know, you can, as if we are niche marketers. If we are small businesses, then we can play to niches and play to our strengths and make money at that. So if you're a great writer, there's no huge imperative for you to be on video. But certainly if you present well on video, or you can learn to present well on video, by which I mean kind of, I don't necessarily mean present like a TV presenter, I mean, you know, that you appear likable and you make sense and you're motivating and engaging on video, then there's very much an argument for going ahead and doing that and taking the opportunity and doing it. And, you know, if you're not sure, you can test. You can have a page that includes the video, copy it so that there's a kind of B version of the page that that doesn't have the video, and then use Google's website optimizer, which allows you to do A-B testing. And basically what you have then is an A version and a B version of the page, one with the video, one without. You tell Google the goal page that you want people to end up on. You put various codes on all of those pages, and then Google will run an experiment, and it will tell you in the end whether your video has improved or ruined your conversion rate, and you can then decide whether that improvement, if there is one, is worth the effort of making the video for the rest of the site. So there's that. Okay, next up, there's an evolutionary imperative in us to deride those who take and make no effort to give in return. What we want is to make relationships, make a society through give and take. And that's hardwired in us. So one of the reasons that we don't like the spivvy salesman is because he seems to want to take and run rings around us at our expense. So all of that has to go. And you would be well advised to work out ways to be nice and to give. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that you give to your customer. You could, for instance, support a charity in a quiet way, and just, you know, let that seep out for the people in the know. Or support a charity and raise funds for that charity, and then that shows that you're a giving person, and so your customers can then go, all right, shall I go with this business that gives to charity versus this company that doesn't give to charity? I'll go with the company that does give to charity, because they are obviously giving back to society. They're obviously the kind of people that I want to deal with. excuse me. I'm going to have to take a drink. Excuse me. Body Shop, still. Yeah, you know, I've read this book. It's Anita Roddick. And I'm still coming back to it. I flagged a load of sections in the book. And I'm still blown away by some of the things that are in there. And when I come to tweet about them, you know, they just seem incredible in this day and age. You know, there doesn't seem to have been anyone like Anita Roddick, to be honest. And so this rule of hers, or her just one thought, I would rather be measured by how I treat the weaker and frailer communities I trade with than by how big my profits are. leave that one hanging. The final one is this idea of, I strongly remember, I mean, I went to university the first time, 1980 and 81, and which, you know, to most of you listening is, you know, like the Elizabethan era. At the time, John Cleese was, you know, the kind of most desirable student character. I have no idea who would have the same draw nowadays. But anyway, I do remember walking past a poster, and the headline was John Cleese. And then underneath it was, isn't coming, but Brian Templeforth is, or whatever. And so you might argue that that stayed in my mind, and therefore it worked. But I felt tricked in the same way as, you know, if you see a coin on the floor and you bend down to pick it up, you know, you may, as my partner and I do, if we find money, we put it in a charity box. We don't feel right to take it. So then if you bend down to pick up a coin and find that it's glued there, you feel tricked and wronged and wrongly labelled. And those things kind of sit with you. So I would argue that a poster like that, that tricks you into taking an action that you wouldn't otherwise have done, sets up the wrong kind of emotional relationship between you and your potential customer. So this tweet was about the kind of emails that say, as a headline, "We sold out." And then you open them and the next line is, "That's the thing we never want to say to you." You know, so we're always in stock and we have this now, da da da. And so then you feel that you've had a trick played on you. And my reaction at that point would be to unsubscribe or to block or to simply resolve never to fall for that kind of trick again. So it's a bad relationship. What should, and you may look at it and say, well, look at the opening stats, you know. And what you're doing is you're schlupping it down to a number. It's a bit like, I can't remember the name of it now. The score for how good you are on Twitter. It's left my head completely, but anyway, it's reducing things to a number. And obviously, if you want to run a business, you do manage numbers, but they're only indicators, they're only triggers, and you shouldn't take the next step of trying to massage the numbers. They let you know that something's happened, and then you go out and kind of feel it and work out what's going on. So although a headline like that might give you great opening stats, that's like 1% of the story. So you really need to look at how that makes people feel and whether it turns into business in the end and whether it turns into what you really want, which is long-term customers who love what you do and tell all their friends. And I suspect if you start tricking people, you're not going to get that. Okay, that's it for today. We'll talk tomorrow. Thank you very much and good day.